It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with the microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast where we generally lock the barn door before the horses bolt, unlike Arsenal this week. This is Tariq along with Vishal.
Hey guys.
Welcoming you to breaking down Arsenal versus Manchester United over the weekend and looking ahead with a lot of wariness to the Manchester derby that will be on Sunday.
Listeners, if I die on Saturday, I like you all.
Vishal, we are talking about these fixtures in the last episode.
Yep.
We spoke about how crucial those fixtures were, particularly for United.
Yep.
How things turned out with Arsenal, but if you take aside scoreline and the rest of it, it might seem straightforward, the 3 points.
Yep.
But what transpired next with Manchester City managing to edge out West Ham despite not being their best.
Yep.
Means that we are back to the 8 point gap.
Damn it.
And we are back to the Sunday game being a massive, massive,
yep.
Like I was saying on Twitter, like a 27 pointer or something at this rate, because, you know, 6 pointers are passé.
Yeah.
As to how the stakes have ratcheted up. But before we go there,
yep.
Let's dive into Arsenal 1, Manchester United 3. A game which, again, on the surface, just by the scoreline, would seem to be one that United dominated, but you do not share that opinion.
Oh, no, far from it. So, I don't know where United take a 2-0 lead in the first 15 minutes, and I practically think that's the only time they played, and they did put pressure off the ball in those 15 minutes. It looked positive, it looked like they were in it to play and, you know, not necessarily sit back. But then I think the worst thing to happen to United happened, which also happened the previous week against Watford, when they went up 3-0 against Watford. They came back at halftime and sat back and conceded 2 goals. And the same thing happened against Arsenal, where they went up 2-0 and you could immediately see Mourinho telling the players to sit back and absorb the pressure. And
eventually the pressure was absorbed by one man between the two sticks and goals.
Pretty much practically saved the game for United. But he did a stellar job, but two, it is his job. So thank God he's that good. But I do not know what the thinking behind United and the logic behind such a move is. When you are 2-0 up, the real thing you have to do is boss the game. You can take control at midfield, because Arsenal anyway have to come forward. You can still play on the counter, but you can still keep the ball in play. You don't need to give the ball to a team like Arsenal. And thank God they were not up to the mark in their finishing. If they were up to the mark, I'm sure they would have scored, because there were a lot of chances that did come straight at De Gea as well.
I think it was a perfect storm for Arsenal of two things coming together.
Yep.
Some of the finishing not being great.
Yep.
And De Gea having,
yep,
pretty much once in a lifetime kind of a night, because
completely,
this was a record equaling performance in terms
completely
of shots blocked.
Yep. And let's talk about Arsenal, because there's a lot of talk about Arsenal showing a lot of heart and grit and fight and all that, but I'm sorry, you deserve to get spanked, because you've made 3 amateur mistakes, and these are not mistakes you make at this level, and not when the stakes are so high, not against an opponent like Man United. Of course you're going to get punished. Man United had 5 shots on goals and 5 shots and 3 goals. That is efficient. Thank God they were that efficient to start with. But however, Arsenal were very, very poor in defence. They were very, very indecisive in defence. And at some point, I think the blame now, I'm going to start looking at Ramsey and Xhaka, who are not falling back and absorbing the pressure as midfielders, and are expecting the defenders of Arsenal to play the ball out, which clearly hit back, and none of the heart, none of the soul and all that the blah that everybody's talking about counts after that. It is a good, as in, I think the scoreline reflects what Arsenal deserved at that point in time. But however, Man United, if they sit like this and if they play sit back like this, I think Man City are going to thrash them, and, you know, it's going to be it's going to be exactly what Man City want. They're going to walk into Pep Guardiola's trap, actually.
So the game is, of course, at Old Trafford, which,
yep,
which makes things a little different. But are we expecting Mourinho to park the bus again? Or do we expect him to take a slightly different tack against Pep? So you're remembering how their rivalry has shaped up over the years.
I'll tell you what, right? Like the effect of sitting back against Arsenal was the Pogba red card. If you could see, Pogba is not a player who likes to park the bus and sit back and defend. Pogba is a player who likes to push forward. And you could see visible frustration in his body language from the end of the first half, where he started getting frustrated. He was getting frustrated not receiving the ball. He really played it out of, but the red card was a result of that. And yes, that was a red card. By the law, that is a complete red card. It doesn't matter what position Bellerin was or this. That was a red card. And you've lost your biggest attacking force and the biggest creative outlet.
And that's the irony, that you've lost it by pushing it back, trying to park the bus.
Exactly.
Which has now forced your hand in the next week's game.
Everything is, you know, as a result of the strategy. And till now, what I thought was Mourinho would put out a masterclass at Old Trafford, where everybody would expect him to sit back and park the bus, but he would do something else. But now with Pogba not being there and no creative outlet for United, I am not sure what Mourinho is going to come up with. I'm not sure who's going to step up and play the role of the creative outlet. Because if you look at all three goals, Pogba had a solid hand to play in all three goals. And Pogba also does a great job in tracking back and defending. So
yes, and we have seen that in games where he was missing this season, that United have lacked that ability.
Exactly. So Kevin De Bruyne versus Pogba was possibly going to be one of the battles of the season, which has pretty much been ruled out. So I do not know what Mourinho is going to come up with. I do not know who's going to rise to the occasion. But I really think United might land up playing for a draw.
And
though they need to play for a win.
And Guardiola already has kind of fired the first salvo, because he kind of hinted at the fact that Mourinho might do a little bit of route one football rather than...
So I do not know, so because even Lukaku is not going to be effective, because I don't see how he's going to get the ball. Herrera is going to possibly come in, or Fellaini is going to possibly come in, but I'm sorry, Fellaini is good against mid-table club. Against Manchester City, he's possibly going to get outplayed and outplayed more than anything. So I do not know where this is coming. I'm pretty angry at the way United set up against Arsenal and the way they played out the game. I think it was disgraceful, because you're Manchester United, and if you're 2-0 up against Arsenal, you're supposed to continue to boss the game, not sit back like you are Huddersfield, because that's what Huddersfield did against Manchester City. And you have players who are worth 300 million to collectively on that field on that day, and they're going to sit back and play like this. So I do not get the logic of it. I hope he's play smarter. It's not a masterclass for sure.
Now, one last thing to consider for both these teams in terms of schedule, Vishal. We've seen United playing the game on Saturday, City playing on Sunday. They both have midweek fixtures in the Champions League.
Yep.
Although, in terms of qualification, not fairly majorly important ones or crucial ones.
Yep.
But still, there is a midweek fixture, and some of the players who are playing there will have to then eventually show up for the derby on
for
Sunday.
Sure, because what's happened is, because of Liverpool's unbeaten run, they've crept into fourth. Chelsea are just behind United. So the stakes for United are not just catching up with Manchester City.
It's
but
not
also,
letting
exactly.
the
others catch up to United up as well, because they're not very far behind. And Arsenal themselves, in spite of losing, are not very far behind. So the only team that has really lost out is Spurs, but everybody else have had a string of good results to catch up and stay up there. So if United fail, there are teams waiting to bounce on them. And similarly, if City fail, there are teams waiting to bounce on them as well. So the stakes are very high at this point in time, considering you're going to be playing another 8 games by mid of January. So this is going to be a crucial game.
Early in 2018, the table might actually look very different.
Yep.
Maybe City still manage their top spot, but the gap may be
sitting,
narrower.
I'm still thinking I can afford to drop a game, because I still have an 8-point lead. So if I'm City and in my most relaxed state of mind, I can think, okay, I can actually go, draw or lose at United, because I still have a 5-point advantage. But United do not have the luxury, because Chelsea, every game they win, come equal on points with United. So the stakes are very high for United.
Which is where the pressure comes in.
Yep.
And we will be tracking that game along with the other derby, that is Everton versus Liverpool. Of course, Big Sam's Everton taking on Klopp's Liverpool. That should be an interesting one.
Yep.
Beyond that, we'll also be keeping our eye out for the rest of the Premier League, and also look ahead to that festive rush. And aside of all of that, Vishal, coming up in a couple of weeks, we'll also break down the World Cup draw.
Oh yes,
in a detailed episode.
That's an episode I look forward to.
all the groups 6 months in advance.
Yes.
We did it during 2014, and we had an enviable track record.
Yeah.
of actually being able to look at how the groups might play out on the field.
Yep.
And this time, like you said, there doesn't seem to be a definitive group of death.
Correct.
Which makes it
even more tricky.
Really, really interesting.
There are a lot of jokers out there in this.
So we'll bring you that in a separate special episode. In the meantime, the regular episode will come after the Manchester Derby.
If I'm alive.
Assuming.
If not, carry on.
Vishal is there to break it down for us. Aside from that, you can catch us on Twitter at SendSoccer or follow us on AudioBoom on our channel. It's audioboom.com/soccer-sense. Or you can find us on Pocket Cast or any other podcasting platform that you use to listen to podcasts. And that's about all we have for this week. This is Tariq signing off along with Vishal.
Pray for your night.
See you guys next week.